Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
But anyway, Rob, let's get to it. You mentioned it. Bobby Knight, the legendary coach, most notably at Indiana University, passed away, just broke, a few minutes ago, really. And he was 83 years old. And Rob G, do you have, I don't know that we can list a few of his accolades, but anybody that's followed college basketball knows that he is legendary and basically known as one of the all-time great college basketball coaches. I lived in Indiana at the time.
No, you did. Really?
Yeah. I lived in Indianapolis.
You lived everywhere. That's what I'm just saying. That's unbelievable.
I lived in Indianapolis when he was coaching at IU. That was actually the time when Isaiah Thomas was playing there and led them to the national championship. And I believe it was the summer between my sixth and seventh grade years. And I was going to, I went to Bobby Knight basketball camp. Me and about four or five of my other friends, my brother, we went to Bobby Knight basketball camp. It was great. Stayed on the campus at Indiana, stayed in the dorms. Every night, you know, we'd obviously be playing during the day. And every night we would watch, after dinner, we would watch movie, you know, like some basketball movie. Where there was more like a documentary or something like that about a great team, great player, whatever. And then Bobby Knight would come in and talk about, you know, basketball, about those players and stuff like that. Isaiah, Rob, now Isaiah came in. It was the summer, I believe, after his freshman year. And he had a great freshman year. And he told us, he gave us a nice little speech about the importance of academics and everything. And he said he was going to stay, and he does take academics seriously. And he would not go early to the NBA because he wanted to graduate. And of course, the next year he led him to the national championship and then went to the NBA. And I can't blame him, but he did go back and get his degree, and Isaiah now is a PhD. And so he's very, you know, I know Isaiah well, and he's very, very much about education. But, yeah, that's my personal memory of him. Obviously saw him from afar as a great basketball coach. And there was a lot of controversy surrounding him for sure. But he had a lot of success as it was.
Yeah, I think when I think of Bobby Knight, unfortunately, as great of a coach as he was, the three championships and all that, the controversy and the bad stuff is what was the last part of his life and a major part of his story. You know, you can't tell his story, Chris, and gloss over what happened at the end. Like, just, right. You know, he just had one little bump of the head, and that was it. And you know what I mean? And you would say 95% good and 5% bad. It was bad stuff that he had to be fired from Indiana.
Well, so let's talk about it, because he, at Indiana, he grabbed the kid around the neck. Was that it?
He had touched people before, and that, right. that he was told that he couldn't touch, you know, any students.
Right.
And he did it again. You know what I mean? After being warned and basically told.
But he was that kid. He was grabbed. Didn't he grab him?
Around the neck.
I can't remember his name.
I also remember, I don't know if it was during the NCAA tournament, Chris. He had a whip at practice. He was popping a whip. I still remember that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I thought that was just like, you couldn't do that today. Like, if you had
He couldn't coach. I don't know that he could coach. He would have to totally change his coaching style. I mean, you can be hard on guys. And I don't mind hard coaching. I mean, that's how we grew up. Like, that was coaching. But he went overboard. Like you said, grabbing the kid by his neck. He threw a chair across the court.
Right,
game.
Which wouldn't be tolerated today. No. He also had very crass. You remember he said that, I don't know if it was to an official or whatever, he wanted to be buried with no pants on or something so that, and he would be face down so that they could kiss his butt. You know, just stuff like that. But to me, I'm just saying, like there's no way, and no one, I mean, he had an unbelievable life and career, and I'm just saying, there's no way that, if you know anything about the man, that you could divorce, Chris, the other stuff. It was just too big. He became very complicated and embroiled in controversy after controversy. He never should have had to leave Indiana. You know what I mean? He never.
Right.
He never should have. But that he had to go to Texas Tech and, you know, in order to
coach
afterwards.
And now, I don't know if that ended badly. I can't recall all the details. Like I said, this just broke. But something happened there. He didn't finish his season there.
But am I wrong on just saying that the bad parts are big? I mean, it's hard to ignore.
Yeah, when you think of Bobby Knight, I mean, you think of his greatness as a coach, and like you said, nobody would or could take that away from him. But you definitely, like, really, second paragraph, is you know, we use that as a term of, you know,
right, it might not be in your lead.
Yeah, right,
and,
right.
And and it might be speech. Like Bobby Knight was one of the all-time great college coaches, Chris, but his second paragraph, but his
the
legacy is
right.
not without controversy and
right,
conflict.
Right.
You know, like that would be
right.
the way it was written. And,
right.
and
he got caught. And I'm not trying to excuse him because he was just wrong for some of the stuff. But, you know, again, Rob, when he threw that chair across the court, I mean, it was a story, but he obviously didn't get fired or anything like that. That was an era when college coaches, especially if they were successful, could essentially do what they wanted. And he got away with a lot of mess. And the way he talked to, you know, players and things like that. And then, you know, as things changed in society, and then, you know, some of the stuff you see on videotape, right? And it became something you just couldn't stomach.
And the one thing that doesn't matter what era, touching someone else's child was just, you know what I mean? Like that was
yeah,
never
but
gonna
I think,
be cool.
I think back then, and now there's certainly ways you can do it, but I don't know how.
Choking a kid in college.
Yeah, I mean, that's
like, obvious. Like, that's what got him fired.
That's way, right, at Indiana. But I'm saying, I mean, I never saw, you know, I don't think I ever saw a coach hit a kid, you know, or a player at any level. I mean, I saw coaches maybe grab a face mask and drag a kid to this spot on the field where you're supposed to be or something like that. But I never saw a coach hit a kid. But he it's controversial. I think it's, you know, it's like we've been talking about great play, whether we really James Harden has sparked that.
Yeah, yesterday, right. Just about his
Harden, right, a Kyrie, a Dennis Rodman. People who have great legacies at what they do, but because things they did off the court or field also were so prominent, you know what I mean?
That it's always a part of your story, yeah. It just does. And I just wonder, like, when you, Chris, and maybe we'll hear from the listeners, but when you hear his name, I guarantee you most people don't think about the three national championships.
Really?
I bet you, yeah, I think that they...
I mean, I don't think they know three, obviously, but let's say this way. You mean they don't think of him as the great basketball coach?
That's not the first thing that they think of.
That's a good question.
I'm not saying that they don't know it or they don't know that he was a great coach doesn't matter. But I bet you his controversy and what he did and him grabbing a kid and getting fired, like, I think that's the first thing when you hear Bobby Knight. When you hear that name, Bobby Knight passed away. Oh, yeah, that was that old coach who was grabbing kids.
I think that depends on your age. I agree that I agree that the negative will be in there. Like, even me, when I saw, oh, wow, he died, I thought great coach and controversial. Like, and the things he did were wrong. You know what I mean? A lot of things he did were wrong. I think younger people who really didn't see him, you know, at his apex, probably just think of that old coach that was doing those crazy things.
And Chris, here's a story.
Age and older probably think of the great coach, but yeah, man, controversial too.
Here's a name. This is a story from the New York Daily News. Neil Reed, former Indiana basketball player, who Bobby Knight choked at practice. This guy died at 36, not from that, but I'm just saying.
What did he die from?
He was 36 years old. I'm looking at
that. Yeah, I actually remember.
You remember that story?
Believe it or not, yeah, and in a rec league in New York when I was at the New York Times, I actually played with him.
Did you really? For some reason,
he was up there. Yeah, he was up.
It said he had some sort of, Chris, I just saw like briefly before the paywall came up, he had some trouble breathing in the morning and then went into cardiac arrest.
Wow.
And couldn't be resuscitated. But he was 36 years old when he died, but he was choked by Bobby Knight at practice. Yeah, so there's one of those incidents.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, we're Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio, every day, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. But here's the thing. We never have enough time to get to everything we want to get to.
And that's why we have a brand new podcast called Overpromised. You see, we're having so much fun in our two-hour show, we never get to everything. Honestly, because this guy is overpromising things we never have time for. Yeah, you blubber lips.
Blaming me. Well, you know what? It's called Overpromise. You should be good at it because you've been overpromising women for years.
Well, it's a Covino and Rich after show, and we want you to be a part of it. We're going to be talking sports, of course, but we're also going to talk life and relationships. And if Rich and I are arguing about something or we didn't have enough time, it will continue on our after show called Overpromised.
Well, if you don't get enough Covino and Rich, make sure you check out Overpromised and also Uncensored, by the way. So maybe we'll go at it even a little harder. It's going to be the best after show podcast of all time.
There you go. Overpromising. Perfect. And remember, you could see it on YouTube, but definitely join us. Listen to Overpromised with Covino and Rich on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Rob, the big news of the day, had Bobby Knight not passed away, we would have led with this. But Josh McDaniels fired, doesn't even complete his second year with the Las Vegas Raiders. The only thing that surprises me, Robin, we've broached this subject before, and we've talked about it.
Yeah,
he should have been fired. I mean, you could justify it after his first year. But every time I kind of brought it up, a lot of people would say, I mean, people in the NFL,
the money, right?
Like that. Yeah, like, remember, when they fired John Gruden, what do you have, that 10-year, $100 million contract?
Right. So there was like 60 left.
6 years left, right.
Right, but he got a settlement. It was a settlement, right. He didn't get all 60.
Right, you still paid him a lot of money to go away and not coach. And now Josh McDaniels has 4 years, Rob, left on his deal.
Was it a six-year deal?
It was a six-year deal. So he got 4 years left. So that was why people thought, they won't fire him. But, Rob, I think, obviously, the coaching job, I mean, he's been horrible. That team was 10-7 and made the playoffs the year before he got there.
And that was after the whole John Gruden thing blew up in their face, Chris.
Right,
and they
Rich Bisaccia came, the interim, and they played well. And then, Rob, they added Devontae Adams and Chandler Jones. So you added talent and got way worse. They went 6-11. They blew. Remember all those blown leads they blew?
Yep.
And I think, too, Rob, because the record, I mean, it's, what are they, 3-5? Not horrible. Obviously, many coaches, particularly in their second year, get to coach through something like that. But, Rob, you don't have to be a personality expert to see that the morale on that team was gone.
Yeah,
it was gone. And I think that's what Mark Davis finally was like, look, this is not going to get better because our morale, and you saw it through Devontae Adams more than anybody, but our morale is gone. As long as he's here coaching, these guys are not going to play, you know, well. And so I think he made the change for that reason.
And I also think, Chris, part of it is the quarterbacking situation. Garoppolo and Hoyer are both his guys.
Yep.
And after that, when Garoppolo got hurt, instead of going to the kid, right, what's his name, Connor? Chris?
O'Connell.
Yeah. They decided to go with Hoyer. And you know what Hoyer is. I mean, he's just a backup quarterback. You could throw him for a game or two. He's not a guy who's going to – and why wouldn't you play the younger guy – trying to find out what he is, you know, long term and whatnot. Jimmy Garoppolo's not your future. And I think that there was a clash there.
I agree.
Where, you know, where Mark Davis was like, dude, no, this guy's hard headed. He only wants to do what he wants to do. And he has no results. I've told you this before, Rob G. I don't know if you got the number. But Chris, if you look at Josh McDaniels, after the 6-0 start with
which
Denver,
which they cheated to get
right, and now you know
and
we
fired
know that
by the league about right.
Yeah,
right.
We all know
well,
that.
He's 14-33 without that 6-0 start.
Think about
so,
that.
With no cheating, he's 14-33, and Rob, that's like a 28% winning percentage. It's one of the worst in history.
And this guy's gotten three jobs, Chris. Don't forget, he got the Colts job and stood them up at the altar. He's had three jobs.
Yeah, it is. Look, I get a guy having a bad first, you know, go round as a coach. I mean, let's not forget Bill Belichick made the playoffs one time in 5 years in Cleveland, was fired there, and then of course goes to New England, and the rest is history. So,
well,
you know,
go
guys
to the Jets
can,
for one day. Don't forget the Jets show.
Yeah, right.
He was the Jets coach for one day.
Right, and he pulled out of that. And that wasn't a Josh McDaniels situation. He just, you know, wanted something
better. Josh never showed up.
Right, but, you know, so I'm not saying because a guy struggles, his first time as a head coach that he could never get another chance. But, Rob, I don't know. Josh McDaniels, it was just a lot. There were a lot of reasons not to even hire him. I mean, the cheating scandal was one, as well as the just lack of productivity as a head coach in Denver.
And he's supposed to be this offensive guru,
and as you said,
Chris,
not going to Indianapolis.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of stuff not to like.
Yep.
And Mark Davis overlooked it. But this is because I don't know why these owners and people are enamored by the Bill Belichick coaching tree.
Like, well, you know why. You're saying they shouldn't be. But they're just looking at a guy that won.
Right, but they shouldn't be, given the history, Chris, that most of the other guys who have gotten jobs have failed. I think, was it Brown? Bill O'Brien in Texas.
And he did fine.
They won a couple playoff games.
He just couldn't take them to the next level. Right. But he's the one that's been the most successful by far. You know, and the Patriot way, I've said this, Rob, and you know, I've compared the Patriots to the San Antonio Spurs. They were both, you know, I don't want to argue over what a dynasty is, but, you know, I consider the Spurs a dynasty. Whether or not you want to give them that, you know, they were a great team for 20 years. And same thing with the Patriots. And they both had similar, you know, type programs. And Rob, one of the keys for both of them, Tom Brady, as good as he was and as good as he became, especially, always was coachable. He would let Belichick go off on him in film, right in front of the other players. And he was coachable. He accepted that. Tim Duncan, Rob, same thing with Greg Popovich. He accepted that. And when the best player lets that happen, everybody else has no choice but to, you know, fall in line. But you saw with Popovich, Greg, or Rob, Kawhi Leonard wasn't having it. Different style of player, like different personality, like, nah, I'm not going for that, you know? And other players were like that. And until they just got Victor Wembanyama, it was looking bad. And we see the same thing with Belichick. He hasn't had much success, period, without Tom Brady. 10 years without Brady, he's coached, and only twice has he made the playoffs. But I don't want to take away what he did with Brady, because everybody's had great players, but still, every successful coach. I'm just saying, you know, it may not have worked out for him, for all we know. But that Patriot way, Rob, has not had much success elsewhere, or to be honest, without Tom Brady anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there, and I do understand. I just think when you look at the Bill Belichick and his success, Chris, to the side, it's one thing, especially since he's such a defensive guy and that's what his strength is. But some of these other guys who have gone on, and I just, if I was an owner, like even when they went back to Josh McDaniels, how do you go back to him, Chris? Like, it didn't work out in Denver.
You mean the Raiders hiring you?
Yeah, like in the first place. Like, first of all, I'd be scared to death because what he did to the Colts, right? Yeah, I'll take the job. Right. And then he stood him up at the altar. But then if they would have done their homework to see, like, they got off to that great start and then it was bad. He also drafted Tim Tebow. Who else did he run out of there in Denver, you know, for Tebow? Brandon Marshall and Kyle Orton. You remember that, Chris? He ran those guys out.
Running out Kyle Orton is...
No, it was Cutler. That's what I was thinking of. Cutler. Oh,
Cutler, okay.
Chicken Cutler.
Jay Cutler.
But my point is, I question that he got this other opportunity. And the offense, which is really the crime, because that's supposedly his strength, right? He's an offensive guy and didn't really know how to use Davante Adams. Davante Adams had a really good year his first year, Chris, but it still didn't feel like he was utilized like he should have. There were games where
he had a huge year.
I know.
I think it was his second best year ever.
But there were some games where he didn't have stuff. He was frustrated, obviously, and this year with Jimmy G, it was obvious that he wasn't happy. And I just wonder, that bad showing on Monday night against the Lions. That probably was just the final straw.
My thing too, Rob, and the Raiders have horrific management, period. All right? And I mean, it falls at the feet of Mark Davis, okay? And I'm not here to rip him, but still, they just don't do things the right way. And my thing is this, Rob, if you knew and you didn't know, this was obviously you saw how bad things were, but this feels like it was kind of a last minute decision, because if you were knew, okay, we're getting rid of the head coach, we're going to play Aiden O'Connell, all right, that means you're starting over, essentially. You're going in a new direction. Why not try to trade Devontae Adams and Josh Jacobs, for that matter, and get something for them? Get some draft picks. Build up a storage house of draft picks for you to really start the right way. And they're going to trade those guys eventually. Devontae will probably be traded in the offseason. But you missed the great opportunity to move him now, or at least to see what teams would give up for him. And if you knew you were going to do this, why didn't you just trade him and maybe Jacobs as well? So to me, that's just another sign of their mismanagement. But Rob, to your point about the Patriots coaching tree, Rob G's got some numbers of the Belichick disciples and what they've done elsewhere.
Well, they haven't done a whole heck of a lot, guys. Okay, Sporting News identified 10 former Belichick coordinators or assistant coaches under him that went on to become head coaches.
I'm not sure we should call them disciples, Chris. Maybe sinners, because they haven't done the right thing.
Of the 10, only two of them are above 500 as coaches. One of them being Bill O'Brien, four games above 500. Al Groh being the other one. Of course, he only coached one season before going back to college.
Al Groh, was he with the Jets for 1 year?
Yeah, so here we go. This is the list in the way they ordered from worst to first. Josh McDaniels was 20-33. Matt Patricia, Rob's guy, 13-29-1. Don't discount
awful,
the tie.
Awful with that the Lions, terrible. Chris.
Guy had a pencil with a laminated play
that
sheet.
That was a 9-7 team he took
yep,
over.
Yep, he took over from Jim Caldwell. Yep.
That's right.
Ran it into the ground.
Joe Judge went 10-23.
Judge Judy was
that
better.
Was a nightmare.
Romeo Crennel, who somehow got three coaching jobs, went 32-63.
Now that's the nice one that guy, is surprising. Yeah, Romeo Crennel, three jobs. Where else did
some
he coach?
Of these? And Romeo wouldn't fall into this category. Some of these were disasters.
Yes,
like Patricia, and I think it's because of their personality. And Romeo was a different personality than these guys, but Patricia and Judge, the arrogance, right? This is how we do it. And I get it. You're a coach. That's what you do. But their arrogance and personalities just made the losing that much worse.
Right. And then, Rob, you know, hate to bring it up again. You're Detroit Lions. Jim Schwartz, yep. 29-51. Bad head coach.
Schwartz
very good defensive
like
coordinator.
Right. Yes. Right. He's doing great in Cleveland. Didn't he had a year or two where it was like, oh, he's looking. I think it was 1 year.
Do you remember there Schwartz was a game? I don't know if you guys remember this. There was a game where Jim Harbaugh, when he was the coach of the 49ers, beat Schwartz at the end, and they had like this terse handshake. Yep, you remember that?
I remember
like,
that.
Like, let go of my hand or something. I remember that. Yeah.
Jim All right, Schwartz. We move down the list. Eric Mangini, the man genius, 33-47, now does great work for TV. I
Friend
wonder if,
of the
he,
show.
If he wants to get back
he
into
had
coaching.
Some good years, though.
Yeah,
he
the man some, genius man was, genius and then I believe, I don't know if I'm wrong, Rob, you might correct me on this. Was he the guy who first suggested that they were stealing signs in New England?
Yes.
Okay.
And well, remember, he's the guy who was there. So yeah.
And what? I'm not mad. Like, if I know we're playing you, don't pull that mess with us.
Right.
Well, but that was the whole thing. Is like, right. I know. Don't. Right. Yep. I know.
And then the last couple more recently, Brian Flores, 24-25. He might get another head coaching job soon, what he's doing with the defense in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And Brian Daboll, who started out of a cannon the first year with New York and now is finding out the other half lives, 11-13-1.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Four just must-see NFL games. And one of them, as I said, involves the Chiefs, who, look, they're 6-2. They're tied for first place in the AFC with Jacksonville. They beat Jacksonville, so technically they actually are in first place. And they got the second-best record in the league to the Philadelphia Eagles. So let's not act like they look like garbage. But offensively, they are not anywhere near what we're used to seeing. In the Patrick Mahomes era, they essentially averaged 30 points a game. Some years it's been higher. His first year was 35. Other years have been 28, 29. And now, this year, Rob, take away the 41 points. Even with that, heck, we'll start there. They averaged 23 points a game this year, but which is 12th in the league. But take away the 41-point outburst against the woeful Chicago Bears.
Right, and look
and
who they did it against, right.
They're averaging 20. They just scored 9 against Denver. Denver, mind you, which not only gave up 70 to Miami, that should be enough, but also, Rob, gave up 31 to the New York Jets of Zach Wilson.
Right. All right? I mean, like the idea that the Chiefs would struggle, Chris, like that mightily, and I get it, you know, Denver, and they had beaten them, what, 15 or 16 times in a row?
Yeah,
and all that. But still, they were due to win, but not have the Chiefs struggle. They could have lost the game, Chris. You know what I mean? Like, played a typical game for Kansas City or whatever, and then lose the game because Denver was just better that day or made another play that they didn't. But they have struggled offensively. You cannot ignore that they're struggling offensively. You just gave the numbers. They're not good.
Right. And Travis Kelce, right? We're not the only ones saying that, those of us in the media. But Travis Kelce, their all-world tight end, was talking on his New Heights podcast. And here's what he said about their offense.
Our defense is playing their tail off, man. And for us to keep turning it over, putting them in bad positions and them saving our tail, it's getting real one-sided, and I don't think I've been in a situation where we've stalled this much, like, as an offense throughout the year, definitely at this point in the season. We got a lot of guys that usually figure out how to get this thing going. Not putting up touchdowns week after week after week is getting old. It's getting old to watch. I know it, Chiefs Kingdom. I know it is. It's not like what we've been in the past, and we got the best, in my mind, the best offensive mind in the game. We got the best quarterback, so it's unacceptable.
Rob, your thoughts?
No, I mean, he's being honest, Chris. I mean, I think people who are trying to make excuses and, oh, you know, this and that, dude, just be honest, look at what it is. Travis Kelce's not talking about one game or the flu or making an excuse. He said the offense is not the same. They haven't performed, and there's a lot of reasons why. Part of it, Chris, is the personnel around Patrick Mahomes. They got a new offensive coordinator. I mean, everybody wanted to say that Bieniemy, Eric Bieniemy didn't matter, and he was just standing there, Chris, doing nothing, holding a clipboard, I guess, and he didn't matter, but he's not there. The offense isn't great. The personnel, you keep taking people away from Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick has struggled. I mean, it's all around the board. Kelce was out, Chris, the first game, right? I don't know. He's not playing like all world either. I mean, he's fine. Not as bad as the other guys. But there's a lot of things here on why this offense has stalled.
Well, I think there's mainly one thing. Because the offensive line is still top 10 in the league. The running game, Isaiah Pacheco, 10th, 11th in the league in rushing. Runs hard, boy. Kelsey is fine. He's top, he's 10th, 11th in the league in receptions and he missed a game. In receiving yards. The quarterback is fine. Now, he's not having a great season by his standards, but by everybody else's standards, he's playing pretty darn well. The defense obviously lights out. We know what Andy Reid can do as a coach. The problem is their receivers. Period. I'm not saying everybody else doesn't have some. Of course, nobody's perfect. So Kelsey's making his mistakes. Mahomes making his mistakes. The defense isn't perfect. Yeah, we get all that. But the one place that this team is subpar is at receiver. They lead the league in drops, according to statshost.com. They got 18 drops. That leads the league. They don't have a receiver in the top 50 in reception yards, a wide receiver. Kelsey's in there at 11, but they don't have a wide receiver in the top 50 as far as yards. And that's with a quarterback who's third in the league in yards. So for all this, Mahomes is playing horribly. He's third in the league in yards, averaging 282 a game. And I only
Yeah,
for him.
Yeah, but
Michael
it's
Jordan's
still,
worst season. He had a worst season statistically.
Yeah, but it still.
But it was still great.
But yeah, but
it was
that
Michael Jordan.
Do you think Mahomes is playing great, Chris?
I think he's playing well. I don't think he's playing great, but I think he's playing well. He's got 15 touchdowns. Only four quarterbacks got more.
I know, but he also has 8 interceptions, second in the league only to Garoppolo, who's a turnover machine.
That's fine.
Another part of it.
Got 7 interceptions.
And I just wonder, like...
I mean, just throw interceptions. Josh Allen has 8 interceptions.
I just wonder, though, does... When you talk about his greatness, is he supposed to make... Like, this is what we always heard about Brady. Oh, who are you throwing to other than Randy Moss? He had nobody.
Well,
he's got working
with Moss.
No, I know, but other than Randy Moss, Tom Brady got guys from Dunkin' Donuts, and we don't even know who these guys are, and he made them better. Has Mahomes not made them better, or can they not be made better, is what I'm saying.
Receivers dropping passes like this. I mean, they lead the league in drops. They might have beat Denver. Sky Moore had a pass put perfectly in his hands, and he dropped it in the end zone. Rashee Rice, who actually is developing pretty well, he looks like he's got some promise, but he dropped a pivotal pass in that game that could have extended the drive. Patrick, they don't get opened at that well. Like, those aren't things... problems. Yeah, Julian Edelman, who became something, but you know, Wes Welker, they didn't really do much before Brady or after Brady. Rashay Caldwell, I mean, you go way back, and yeah, it was guys that weren't no Pro Bowlers hardly at all for Brady, but they could get open enough for it to catch a ball, and when it was thrown their way, for the most part, they caught it. And Patrick Mahomes did, you know, they did have a number one receiver. Wide receiver last year. Juju Smith-Schuster was their best, but that was enough. I mean, I don't think he needs – it'd be great if he had a Devontae Adams, but I don't think he needs a Devontae Adams to win a Super Bowl. He proved that last year. But, I mean, guys got to catch the football. Guys have to get open. And I don't know. It's interesting, Rob, because Matt Nagy back calling plays. You know, nobody's really focused in on Bieniemy and the loss there yet. It's interesting. I don't know what type of factor that is played in this. But if this continues, I do think that may be more a part of the discussion. You know, that they miss Bieniemy. And Sam Howell's actually throwing the football fairly well in Washington.
I think we have to at least, right, I'm with you on that. Like, I think people tried to discount that he didn't really matter. And things aren't the same. And I get the receivers that they're not great. But I just wonder, Like, if you're that great quarterback, aren't you supposed to throw them open? Aren't you supposed to make them better? You're saying guys aren't getting open. I mean, I get it. The receiving corps is not the greatest. I still expect Patrick Mahomes to play better than he has.
I mean, Rob, with a receiving corps that has, I would argue they don't have a number two receiver. That, forget a number one. I mean a guy that on a team could be their number one receiver. They definitely don't have that. I don't even think they've got a number two yet. Now, maybe Rashee Rice will develop into that or something, but right now, I don't even think they have that. And yet, they're 6-2. Again, the sky isn't falling. They still have the best record in the AFC, tied for it with Jacksonville. He's third in the league in passing yards. There's four quarterbacks with more touchdown passes than him. Yes, he's got some interceptions, but Josh Allen has just as many. Tua Tagovailoa has one fewer. You know, so other guys are throwing interceptions too. It's not just him. And
if they have a bad offensive game and they lose to Miami,
tending to think that Miami's going to beat them.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, offensively, if they don't get it together and they struggle again, would you be concerned at that point? You
know about what I mean? Him?
No,
not
just
about him. I'm
about
never concerned about him.
Yeah, about just where they're headed. I mean, if this continues.
Look, they're a Super Bowl or bust team, S-Bob. So I don't think I'd be concerned. I mean, I didn't pick them to win the AFC. Now, they're always going to be in the hunt, so we'll see. But this team has earned the benefit of the doubt, Rob. Like we talked about with Purdy, he hasn't, as much as I like him, he hasn't had that track record, that experience, that history where you're going to let him play through too many horrible games, where you're not going to start wondering and doubting. Patrick Mahomes has. Like, he could go out there and throw three interceptions, and I'm not going to be like, oh, is something wrong with Mahomes? But I mean, everybody has bad games. The greatest of all time have bad games. But he's earned – I mean, he started 5 years and got two MVPs and two Super Bowls. Like, no.
Chris, we're not doing a resume thing. We're just talking about –
No, but I'm saying – I'm telling you, this is why he's 28 years old.
No,
I'm not about to let a few bad games make me think he can't play.
I didn't say he can't play. That never came out of my mouth. My point is how he's played this year. We know his resume. He's had a great career and everything that's gone on. But this year looks like 2 years ago. I know he won the Super Bowl last year. 2 years ago when he went through that stretch with seven straight games with interceptions, I thought that was weird because he's just not – he's better with the ball than that. This year he has eight in the first – how many games have they played? Seven or eight?
Eight.
Eight games, eight interceptions in eight games. And that's what I'm just looking at. I mean, is him throwing interceptions, is that a receiver's thing?
I mean, it's all related. I mean, I'm not saying he's playing perfectly. Again, by his standards, this is not a great year. But his standards are so high that essentially every quarterback in the league would take this year. Right, thus far, 282 yards a game and 15 touchdowns in eight games. Most would take that. He's on pace to throw over 30 touchdowns. So, he's not Aaron Rodgers in terms of never throwing interceptions. And when you watch it, like, he's offensively, he and Kelce are, like, the only reasons they're in these games. He's scrambling. He's running the ball well, you know. And, again, I'm not saying he's not making some mistakes. He's made some bad throws. No question about that. My point is just that they're – and, look, like I said, I'm leaning toward picking Miami. I'll get to your question. I'm leaning towards picking Miami to win the game this weekend. Will that make me think the Chiefs are in trouble? Not necessarily. I mean, they're probably going to lose four or five games this year. And so, no, that won't. Miami needs a win, right? They need to beat a good team for once.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.